We're now going to have our Bible reading, and it's from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and it's on page 966 if you're following the church Bible and overhead. And this is the truth. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod had heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exactly the time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Is that all right? Good. Mark, if we can get the first slide up, that would be awesome. There we go. So, getting the perfect gift. Can I see, did everyone, let's ask this. Who got the perfect gift this Christmas? Well, I see a couple of hands. That's great. But just judging by the number of hands I just saw, it doesn't seem like a very successful gift-giving Christmas. And I know, it's really, really tricky, isn't it? Let's just go back there for a moment. There we go. It's really difficult, so really tricky. So I came across these guidelines or these guidelines, that might help in getting the perfect gift for one's wife. I noticed that Anke didn't put up her hand either. So obviously I got this after Christmas, otherwise I would have known. So the first one, don't buy anything that plugs in. Anything that requires electricity is seen as utilitarian. Don't buy clothing that involves sizes. I'm not going there. Avoid all things useful. The new silver polish advertised to save hundreds of hours is not going to win you any brownie points. Don't buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. She'll perceive a six-month membership to a diet center as a suggestion that she's, well, overweight, which she isn't. She really isn't. Don't buy jewelry. The jewelry your wife wants, you can't afford, and the jewelry you can afford, she doesn't want. Finally, don't spend too much. How do you think we're going to afford that? She'll ask. But don't spend too little either, because she will say, or she won't say anything, but she'll think, is that all I'm worth? It's So I don't know if that's helpful to anyone. Maybe next Christmas, maybe a birthday, I don't know. But you would think that babies would be easier to buy gifts for, don't you? Well, wouldn't you? Like, you know, you kind of know what they need. Can I hear any suggestions what you would buy for a baby or for new parents? Yes? You can buy them a toy. My daughter is very wise. Any other suggestions? Any other? What would you buy a baby? Yes?
Dummy.
A dummy. That's a good one. That's for the parents or for the babies? Yes, a dummy. Yes. What's that? Oh, a vest. Yeah, that's good. Singlets. Yeah, that's good. Anything else? One more. Nappies. That's a good one as well. So, I wonder, the Magi brought these odd gifts that you wouldn't necessarily give to a baby or to young parents living in a foreign land. So, can anyone remember what those were from the quiz as well, or from the reading? What were they? Just shout it out. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So gold, that's sort of what gold looks like. And it's a symbol of kingship. It's a symbol of, it was and still is a very, very precious metal. And it's what people give to victors, to champions, you know. If you've beaten... Let's carry on. So... Next slide. Frankincense. Frankincense, which was used in worship. It was used as incense in the temples, in worship. It's very, very, very nice smell. And then, of course, myrrh. So that was, yeah, frankincense was used in worship. And then we have myrrh, if we can get there. Which was used at funerals. Oh, sorry, not this one, that one. There we go, myrrh. So myrrh was used at funerals as embalming fluid, etc. And it's really odd gifts. So you'd wonder why the Bible would call the Magi wise men. They don't seem very wise if you look at the the gifts that they brought. Like, why is that? And yet, I think, alongside the shepherds, they were some of the wisest men or wisest people that I've ever read about in the Bible. There's this lovely quote I came across by J.I. Packer. It says this: "Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, together with the surest means of attaining it." Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, together with the surest means of attaining it. So if we go on this, we can say that the Magi were indeed wise, regardless of the gifts that they had given, because they recognized the worth of Jesus and they responded in worship. They recognized the worth of Jesus and they responded in worship. So this is what Proverbs says. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The beginning of wisdom is to recognize Jesus as Lord, to recognize His power, His justice, His sovereignty, His mercy, His love. And so this is what the Magi read about Jesus in Micah. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." That's from Micah. That's from today's reading, and it's quoted from Micah. That is why the Magi started their long journey to go and meet this king who they read about. What else did the prophet say about Jesus? Gray mentioned Isaiah earlier. This is a very, very well-known Christmas reading. It's from Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7. It says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So these things, and these are just a couple of examples of things that the Bible said about Jesus. I don't know about you, but that sounds like someone I would like to meet. Don't you think? Does that sound like someone you would like to meet? That sounds like someone I would travel a long, long way to go and see. And that's what the Magi did. They recognized that Jesus was worth a very long and uncomfortable, even dangerous trip to go and see him. They saw the star, they recognized its relevance in the context of the prophecies, and started their journey. How about you? How about you? Have you recognized who Jesus is? Have you heard about what he has done and is still doing? Have you read what the Bible claims about him? The question is, do you think that he is someone worth looking for? Someone worth traveling for? Someone worth meeting? Do you think that today? The Magi did, and what happened was they saw the face of God. So, the first thing we need to do is we need to recognize Jesus as the greatest gift. Sorry, Mark, can we go on to the next slide, please? Oh, sorry, the previous one. There we go. That's great. So the Magi, well, I'm going to tell you the story, or read you the story. It's about responding to something. So two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent they wouldn't make it to the fence in time. Terrified, the one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "But you must," implored his companion. "The bull is catching up to us." "All right," panted John. This is a very long conversation for someone being chased by a bull, by the way. But it's a good story. "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. Oh Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Being grateful, being thankful, responding in some way, saying thank you, to recognizing who Jesus is important. We can't just recognize Jesus as being all he is claimed to be, all he's hyped up to be, all the things that the Bible says, and then not respond in some way. The Magi were most probably wealthy. They had the time and the resources to travel a long, long way following a star to a foreign land and give very expensive gifts, if impractical, to someone they only ever read about. The shepherds, in contrast, weren't wealthy. They were like a scruffy, smelly bunch of nothing, or with nothing to give as an offering, even resembling gold, frankincense, or myrrh. And yet, at Christmas, we remember and celebrate that Jesus welcomed them both. Jesus welcomed them both. No one is too important to meet Jesus. No one is too insignificant to meet Jesus. He who flung the stars into heaven extends those hands, those very same hands, out to each and every one of us today. We can just bring whatever we have. The Magi saw a star in the sky. The shepherds saw an angel choir. The Magi brought their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The shepherds brought nothing but awe and wonder. Both brought what they had to hand and worshiped the King of Kings. See, I find we can sometimes compare what we have to bring to Christ with that of others, and oftentimes convince ourselves that it is too little, too small, too feeble. But we are wrong if we think that way. There's a famous carol we sometimes sing called In the Bleak Midwinter. And I love the final verse of that, which reads, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. I give him my heart." How will you respond to knowing who Jesus is? What do you have to bring as an offering to the King of Kings? So let us pray. Lord God, thank you for the greatest gift of God being with us. Thank you for the opportunity at Christmas that we can celebrate this and be reminded of this, that you accepted the gifts of wise men and of shepherds, that you accept us now as we are. Lord, open our eyes so that we can recognize you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, and every other thing that the Bible claims you to be. So, Lord, will you help us to worship you with all we have? In Jesus' name, amen.